Hey, I'm Kay Jabelli.
And I'm Frieza Bastoon. Welcome to Monopoly Attack. So in this very first episode, we'll be introducing ourselves and what our podcast Monopoly Attack is all about.
What is Monopoly Attack all about, Frieza?
That's a good question. So it's a podcast about tech antitrust policy from Brussels with two guys who have a lot to say about it. So maybe let's start with you, Kay. Why do you have a lot to say about tech antitrust?
Well, I work for the technology industry as a competition lawyer. So I've been doing antitrust stuff for a very long time. And unlike many lawyers here in Brussels, I am also a computer engineer. So I studied computer engineering for my bachelor's degree in the US before going to law school and going into competition law and antitrust and starting my career in Brussels. So I actually grew up in Silicon Valley, and I have a lot of that techno-utopian ideals sort of baked into me as a result of growing up in that environment. And really interested in where this law and this new approach to antitrust enforcement with regards to big tech and platforms in the digital economy is going. What about you, Frieza?
So I have been born and bred in Brussels, capital of Europe, at least when it comes to competition, with our great European Commission that we have here. And I was captured by competition law early on during my legal studies through some moot courts, some internships at our Belgian competition authority, as well as at a couple of law firms, where I really found out that, yeah, the intersection of tech and antitrust is where it's at, is where the future is at. So I focused on that during the remainder of my studies, did some exchanges at the University of Sydney.
What was it like leaving Belgium as a born and bred European and being exposed to not only other cultures, but also other understandings and interpretations and approaches to the law?
It was interesting, maybe even essential to see this clash between these approaches to antitrust. I guess the big axis of antitrust is, of course, between the US that is said to be influenced strongly by the Chicago School, so they take a more hands-off approach, at least until recently, to tech, and the European Union, who is increasingly setting this global example based more on ideas of ordoliberalism, etc. So I think you can't really approach this complex topic without a good understanding of both sides of the Atlantic and beyond. For example, Australia is quite influenced by the whole Asian culture and is more into the Asian tradition of antitrust as well. So I'm very happy to have gotten a bit of everything.
And so you did your studies abroad in Sydney in the US as well?
So LLM at Harvard, where I was immersed in this great group of international scholars, lawyers, a lot of them who were also looking at antitrust. But then I went back to Belgium, back to Leuven specifically, where I then got my PhD a couple of months ago and defended it only a couple of weeks ago. So I'm now a doctor of laws.
We should be calling you Dr. Bastoon.
Well, if you would be so kind, although that still sounds a little bit unusual to me. I'll have to get more used to that.
We'll get used to it on this show, Frieza. That's awesome. And so as an academic, very much so, what makes you interested in doing a podcast?
Each day, I feel like antitrust has an impact on the lives of every consumer, but also on every company and tech company specifically. And where antitrust is sort of determining the future of our digital economy these days. And it's important to get that exactly right, to let people know where it's going and to make sure that enforcers and the businesses that antitrust is enforced against, the balance between that is exactly right. So what's your reason to do this podcast? Is it similar? Is it something different still?
Well, I've always been a bit of a tinkerer. I used to build computers when I was in high school. You know, I've worked in private practice. I worked at Enforcer. I worked in-house at a media company. And there's a lot of theoretical understanding of how markets work in the current debate. But I think it's really important to also really understand, you know, the theory of the product, not just the theory of harm that's going on, and to bring it into the real world application of what does it mean when the rubber meets the road. I think being engaged in this new creator economy is a great way to learn, you know, what are the gatekeepers? What are the issues with the interoperability, or, you know, how important are network effects? I think getting that hands-on experience with this is really interesting as well. But I think that is helpful to have a credible understanding and be involved in the debate, because I think it's an incredibly important debate right now. I mean, for me, I mentioned that growing up in Silicon Valley, I was very much, you know, Silicon Valley is near Berkeley. There was this big hippie culture, there still is. And this kind of techno-utopianism that came out of it, that this belief that technology is this progressive, democratizing and empowering force that's really going to make the world a better place. That's part of why I wanted to study computer science and engineering when I got to university. And to make sure that that engine of progress is able to continue when right now I see, you know, a lot of counterbalance to it. There's a lot of increasingly populist rhetoric, people who want to use antitrust law to achieve certain market outcomes or other social goals. And that takes antitrust really away from this discipline that it has been thankfully developed into. And especially when it's being applied to the tech sector, I mean, to me, the tech sector, it's not just this utopianism. If you look at what has that meant for the economy, Paul Graham of Y Combinator had a really interesting post about this recently, where it shows that the amount of wealth, like the richest people in the world, it used to be primarily oil and real estate. Nowadays, it's really the founding of companies. And a lot of these have been tech companies that is creating this new opportunity for people, creating this new wealth, challenging those old legacy incumbents, the aristocracy, the established moneyed, deep-pocketed interests. And to me, tech is still this story of challenging incumbents and disrupting old, ossified, slow to adapt industries that aren't serving consumers the way they can be. And I'm encouraged by that. And I want to see future enforcement and antitrust policy continuing to encourage this progress, because I think that's where, you know, we're going to need this kind of progress if we're going to invent our way out of climate change, if we're going to do all the many great things that we want to do as a species.
So you mentioned earlier that you grew up in Silicon Valley. I'm wondering what the vibe was like with all this new wealth being created.
I mean, it was a gold rush in the 90s. And it's really interesting because my high school was vast majority immigrant or immigrant origin. And if you look at the statistics, of the 98 high-tech firms in the Fortune 500, half or nearly half were founded by immigrants or their children. So it was this new opportunity, the beautiful land of milk and honey.
I'm getting the feeling this is kind of personal for you.
Yeah, I mean, growing up as a computer guy, I was always getting bullied, and I'm sure there's sort of like trauma in my body stuck in there that's being triggered by some of the characterizations of big tech. Sometimes it feels a little bit unfair, a little bit like bullying.
So this is essentially therapy for you, talking about this.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good thing you're a doctor now. Let me get on your sofa.
Welcome anytime, Kay. Okay, that's interesting to hear where you're coming from. I agree with a lot of it. I mean, obviously, tech firms have significantly improved their lives. At the same time, they're not inherently or absolutely good. I'm perhaps a bit more of a pessimist on that point. But I mean, the more important point is perhaps the competition law, of course, is in question whether, you know, this disruption is good. Because like you said, a lot of industries have been disrupted by tech companies for the better. But rather, maybe whether these tech companies are now immunizing themselves from disruption through to certain specific anti-competitive acts. And so whether they are good in the aggregate, I think we can only agree. But on specific practices, that's what competition law focuses on. And there, I think there's some more trouble on the horizon. So that's, I guess, what we'll get into a lot deeper over this podcast. Where should we draw the line? Where do we not destroy the tech or platform business model, but make specific improvements that improve the lives of consumers and sometimes even the companies themselves even more? And I guess that's where we will find our niche.
And I do think that competition law has been applied to industry for a very long time, but digital economy is something different. There are a lot of differences, and a lot of great writing has been done about this, which we'll refer to and touch upon throughout this series. But to really adapt competition law in the right way, it is, to me, a really beautiful discipline. You got into it way more than I did. Why don't you tell me a little bit more about sort of what appeals to you about competition law as that kind of discipline?
I like how surgical competition law can be if applied well. So it's not about doing away with this or that complete business model, or let alone complete firm, but rather looking at very specific practices, understanding the economics of it, understanding in this case the technology underlying it, whether we're talking about APIs or specific OS components, putting all of that together and coming up with a practical, effective solution. That is the beauty of it. And like you said, digital economy is different in that respect. I completely agree. And more I've been seeing sort of two responses to that. One response is, well, it's different in all the good ways and we shouldn't touch it because that will only destroy all the goods. The other response on the other side of the spectrum is so different that perhaps we should abandon it altogether, disband it in this or that way. And I think there's a lot of value in sort of being at the center of that and trying to figure out what is good, what is bad, and drawing the line correctly rather than working with these more absolute categories.
So other than, you know, other people who are involved in this debate and thinking about finding a way between these two extremes, who do you think would be interested in listening to this podcast? Who do you think would get value from this?
Well, if we do this right, all 7 billion people on this planet should be interested in this. No, but more seriously, obviously, we're talking to academics and lawyers dealing with competition law. But equally, I mean, this is supposed to be in sort of an interdisciplinary project. So any economists, and more of them are working on competition law as well. Those might be interested. Technologists as well, whether they're, you know, working on their startup or at one of those more established tech platforms that we'll be discussing in depth. So in short, really anyone with a passing interest in the digital economy and competition.
I totally agree with you on that last one. I think the times, definitely the scrutiny that the tech sector is in these days, I think it really helps to be aware of what are the red lines that shouldn't be crossed and where is that changing, because those red lines are moving right now. And having an idea of what do governments think? What do regulators think? Do they understand your business models? And in a way, trying to explain a little bit of that through this, through our work as well, I think is an important, valuable contribution to the debate.
Tell us something more about the format. What can listeners expect from us?
Well, we had started off doing this as a Clubhouse, and we would like to continue having a participative element and being kind of an open community to discuss these issues. But that will take place mostly still on Clubhouse. But if people want to catch up on episodes, catch up on topics, catch up on sort of the next episode, what we're going to be talking about, oftentimes it'll be current events, developments in cases, in court judgments, in investigations, enforcement actions, regulation, regulatory proposals, legislation. I think we'll be talking about all this kind of stuff and not just the sort of what you would read in the news, because we are lawyers and we've studied competition law. We have a deeper understanding of it than you'll get from a lot of these hot takes that you might see on Twitter. So I think providing that more in-depth background, some deep dives, as well as some news of the day and a lot of variety of different things that we can do. How does that sound to you, Frieza?
That sounds perfect to me. Yeah, combining these deep dives with some more contemporary developments and cases, that should be what it's all about. So yeah, at the very end, should we do some disclosures? Where do we come from? Who are our backers?
I do work for the technology industry as my day job, but this is entirely a personal project. And so my views expressed here do not reflect necessarily the views of my employers or clients or anything like that. But what about you, Frieza?
Well, I'm still employed by the University of Leuven. That's where all my funding comes from. And if that ever changes in the future, I'll be sure to let everyone know.